Hi. Good afternoon and welcome to another episode. We're going to do Unstoppable so then we don't have to have a filter and we can have good old lady women mom talk and just go for it. I have my beautiful friend. She's such a good friend. I love her, love her, love her. Dee is back with us. She's amazing. Thank you for being here.
Well, what do I do after that introduction? I love you so much. You're such a sweetheart. Oh my gosh. I can't wait till we get to see each other face to face. I got
I can't wait. I cannot wait. So one of the things that we were talking about off air are people's words and actions. And I think that is such a critical topic to have just about life, yet alone, we were talking about Faith being in the hospital and what a whirlwind that was. But just people's words, there's a way to say everything without destroying someone. I mean, people don't think and they say something, and what they say in that moment can stay with someone a lifetime. It's all about how you say what you're trying to say. I mean, how do you account for people's actions when they don't care? They're miserable, so they want to be miserable and they want to bring you into their misery, but then they turn around and act like they've done nothing wrong. I mean, that's classic narcissism. But what do you do to try to make that not happen?
Yeah, and they should be held accountable. Somebody needs to call them out when they do that.
Absolutely.
You were telling your story earlier, and it reminded me. I just saw somebody on Instagram saying, they knew this guy who the doctor said that he had colon cancer and he had like 3 months to live, and the guy died 3 months on the day, pretty much on the dot. And then later they found out, they did a biopsy and it was benign. It wasn't really what they thought it was,
Oh
but
no.
he spoke that over the patient, and he took that and his body ran with it.
Right.
You know, it's so important that we're careful what we speak over ourselves. And, you know, what you were saying about these doctors, and yeah, you got to speak life over you because every single cell is listening. And our words are so powerful. I was also li listening to another podcast yesterday, this amazing find in the pyramids. And they were talking about how the words, you know, they've learned that words can be etched upon the water just with your thoughts now. This is how far we've come with quantum things. Your thoughts can be etched upon water. And now they're finding that even on crystals, and these pyramids had crystal in them, and crystal holds a lot of information and knowledge. You know, like crystal Intel in our computers, it holds a lot of knowledge. And I'm like, this is even back then, they knew the power of our words. There's a frequency that comes out when we speak. And frequency and vibration is everything. And I get all nerded out on this stuff because it's so cool. I'm like, why are we not? How come we didn't know this before? But we're just learning this. It's you speak to those cells in your body, you're mostly water. So what's gonna happen? You know, if you
Right.
can speak to water and see that the forms change, and when they freeze it and have these beautiful images, and then if they spoke negative things or had a negative thought, then the water, the images on the crystal were just shattered and chaotic. And here we are, these beautiful bodies full of all this water wrapped around our DNA strand. They found
Right.
our whole DNA strand covered with these water. We have to speak life to every single thing and envision our DNA being filled with life and love and beautiful things. And oh, I'm so glad you fought for your daughter and you were there telling them, don't say those negative things around
Right.
her.
And it wasn't even just that. I look at how much things have changed since we were younger. And, when we were younger, we would go outside and play until it got dark and we, did all these other things. Now, today, these kids, first of all, I never went home. I just want to stress that point so that when I say this, it's like, oh, well, maybe. I know for a fact that 80, 90% of the kids in the ICU with Faith were alone. And they told me that, maybe they have, other kids at home. Okay, excuse me. If they have other kids at home, maybe they have another parent or a grandparent. But I mean, not even during the day. There were so many kids that were there without anyone. I mean, from newborns that were like, you would see them pass down the hall in their crib to, 17, 18-year-old kids. They were all alone. And like, because you're in the ICU, they have their own coding system. And literally, every time I heard code blue, I just started like praying, please, not only do not take this innocent person, don't make them be alone. Like,
Right.
how, and then to call the family and say, hey, your kid, you just want to be like, what is wrong with you? I mean, we've always been this person in this group, my husband and I, that help others. And this was the very first time ever we had to ask for help. And we were so blessed because so many people helped us so that Michael could be there at least for the first 2 weeks. And I was like, jobs come and go. Obviously, I learned people come and go. I learned quite well that people that I thought were my friends, one in particular that I'm not gonna, say who it was. The day I heard she wasn't gonna make it and that I could do things to keep her comfortable and let nature take its course, wrote to me and said, done. Like, we're, not
Whoa.
for no, whatever. And I was like, and I've
Wow.
been friends with this person for like 7 years, like good friends, and helped their family and done things for their kids. And I was just like, right now, and it's right before Christmas, and it's like, this is what. Are you serious? And then I just stopped for a minute and I said, God, thank you. Thank you for showing me that not another second needs to be spent on that individual.
Their true character came out when times get rough. It's funny, you reminded me of my very best friend from grade school. We were best friends from first grade on. And I hadn't seen her in years, and I was going to go home, and I had to drive from California to Oklahoma, and it was a long trip, and I had three little kids in the car with me. And I was going to my grandmother's 80th birthday, and I hadn't seen her for years either. And it was like my whole family was there. It was like a reunion, and I couldn't wait to get there. And my best friend said, I'm going to be coming there at the same time. I want to meet you in town. And then we got stuck in traffic because it snowed. We were like, it was like Mexico. There was snow and all this stuff happened. And she got so mad at me that I didn't go and see her first. And I said, it's my grandma's 80th birthday. I have my whole family waiting on you. But she got so upset at me, she went and talked to me. And I thought, I have known her all these years. And it just ruined our friendship. And it just completely ruined it. And I thought, that's so narcissistic. Like, seriously, you're gonna make me choose over my family and my 80-year-old grandma, after this long trip. She had no empathy, no insight. And I'm like, whoa. And then I thought the same thing. Well, you know what? There's a reason why that person is not a part of my life anymore. Obviously, this is something I needed to be shown about her, even after all these years. What's funny is after my divorce, my ex, another narcissistic thing they do, reached out and found her and became friends with her. I thought, how funny. Yeah. So you can have
Wow.
someone.
Maybe they started dating.
Yeah. They gotta have a buddy in their thing whenever they're going against you. So I'm like, okay, well, now my best friend from grade school is friends with my ex. This is so weird.
More power to them.
Yep. You go.
More power to them, And it's the same thing. Like, I'm no contact with my biological parents, and it's because I don't like the drama, the toxicity, whatever. We know for a fact that they knew about Faith and what was going on, and that's still their grandchild. And literally not a phone call, not a text message, not a word. And they had ways to get a hold of us if they wanted to. Like, my email's been the same forever. They could have gotten my phone number. They knew my husband's number, and they not a message, not anything. And he was like, why are you surprised? And I said, because I would have been like, you know what? Whatever it is, whatever. What do you need? How can I help? Like, that, it doesn't matter. Like, when I still was no contact and I heard that my biological dad had COVID, I was like, sending messages, can I bring food and drop it off at the door? You don't even have to see me. Is there anything you need? Because that's just the right thing to do. And I can't put my mind in the wheelhouse of how they can do that and go to sleep at night. Like, how do you do that knowing that your grandchild literally was told she wouldn't make it through the night? And you didn't so much as even care to pick up a phone or a text or an email or smoke signals or whatever. And my husband's part of his family was fantastic. And then the other part of his family didn't do a thing either. And it was, how do you look at yourself? I mean, this is a kid. how do you do that? I can't wrap my head into that, because if my grandparents, God bless them, were still here, they would have like crawled into that hospital and they would have been like permanent statues like I was. They wouldn't have gone nowhere. And to see that and then see that now there's all these other people that if it's not self-sufficient and self-satisfying, it's like to hell with it. They don't care. I can't wrap my head around that psychological thought process.
I can't either. There's no excuse for that at all. Especially with today, we have so many ways to access people.
Right.
It's like everywhere. My husband was just telling me about an article he read this morning about how people don't get out and socialize anymore because we have so many ways to do it without leaving our house, and how much it's changing everything. It has changed everything. But wow, there's no excuse if you can't reach out.
Right. I agree. And then, the kids today, I'm like, don't y'all want to have sleepovers or go have play dates or whatever? And they're like, why? We just talked on FaceTime. Or, we just played on video games together or whatever. And it's like, it's not the same thing. Don't y'all want to, and they're all like, so many people are just introverts now and they just want their electronics. And it's just, what would y'all do if like the electronic grid went down and y'all weren't able to communicate via text or email or anything like that? Like, what would you possibly do? Because all the kids want to do is just, that's it.
And we're missing out on the part where you meet somebody and you can feel their energy field. And you can tell, you can pick up things from them that you can't pick up. That is how I got in the mess I did, my 11 and a half year marriage that was with the narcissist. We met on a dating site and I thought I knew him. But the very first time he showed up at the door, I had this awful feeling in the pit of my stomach. And I remember kind of swaying backwards, like, sorry. I was kind of taken back a little bit and I didn't know what it was at the time. And then later I was like, dang, like my energy right at the beginning was already telling me something was off with this, and I just didn't listen to those cues and I just tried to ignore it. And I thought, I know him, we talk on the phone all the time. And I just tried to push it into the back of my mind. But to think about all the things we miss nowadays because we don't get to meet them first of all up front. I probably would have avoided that whole thing if I would have met him in person and my first instinct was to kind of back away.
Right.
I wouldn't have carried on those conversations, for months and months with this person. And I'm thinking this is probably some of the reason why we have some relationship issues these days because so many people meet online
Yes.
and they don't know what the real energy of this person, they can be anybody. They can
Right.
pretend to be anybody,
Yeah, it's a big mask, and what is really behind it? Like, who are you really? What are you really hiding? Because the narcissist wears a mask. It's one thing behind closed doors, and then it's another thing in public. They care more
Whoa.
about the public persona of what people think of them than they do the people that they live with.
This is so key right now. Do you realize what I think we're just discovering? Okay, so I thought narcissism, like, why is this in the forefront now? Everybody's talking about it. It's like a huge thing. People are exposing narcissists. This could be the whole correlation of how we're meeting people. Because they're so good at, putting that mask on now. People are fooled. Maybe back in the day, before all the social media, people just knew to avoid people like that. They
Right.
didn't get into those kind of relationships. It
Absolutely.
just allowed more of the narcissists to come out and be powerful because they have this. Oh my gosh, that just hit me. Like, that's probably the whole reason.
Yeah,
Wow.
and you have nothing to know about it, because at first they turn it around. They're so good. They're so good at the manipulating. Like, they turn it around and spin it on you, like you did it wrong, and you made them be the bad person, and they play the victim, and then they go out and tell everybody what a horrible person that you are, and they slam you against everything, and then when you can't provide them anything anymore, then they go on to the next person, but they are going to really taint you every way possible to every single other person out there. Like, they're going to try and destroy you, and they want to tear you down, because, and you know what that means? They're already under you. They're already under you, because they can't lift us up if they're already underneath us. And if they're tearing us down and they don't care about anybody but themselves, then what kind of life is that? know, it's a horrible life. And when people put that perception, when you go out and you like literally go into it, you metaphorically go out your front door, shut the door, and you're like, "Hey neighbor, how are you? Great, I'll bring the, the ribs and stuff on Sunday." And you shut the door and you're like, "You son of a bitch, you stopped me from doing this. Why do I deserve this? I do this for you and this for you and this for you. Oh, hi Tom. Oh, hey, how are you? Great, thanks." Shut the, and then it's like, "Why can't you just do this for me? Everything I d and they spin it and it makes us feel like Beetlejuice. Seriously, like I am not perfect. I have made my share of mistakes. I own them. I make the, loud and clear. I'm not perfect by any means. But, would I do some of the things that others have done? Absolutely not. I would never use a child to be able to justify to my spouse that I'm spending time with my grandchild because I'm hiding other women. And that's what my bio father did. And he lied to his wife about it. And so when he said, if she ever found out, I'm going to make her believe you made me have this relationship. I didn't stick your tongue in her mouth. I didn't make you invite her out of town. I didn't tell my daughter, your grandchild, to lie to your wife about the fact that, oh no, it was just us who'd gone to dinner. Or, I don't go to my biological brother and say, "Hey, do you want to see a ton of proof that your bio dad says about you behind your back?" Because I know what that would do. That would destroy him. And that's malicious. And I'm not going to do that to him. I mean, I have so much proof because it was always spun around. So he was the victim and I was the bad one. And I was,
Darn.
right. And I was played against like my brother. I have no relationship with him because he only hear that side. And even though I could go and I could show him so many text messages from his dad, I could show him where his mom lied to him. I have proof of it, but I don't want to do that because I don't want to hurt him, even though he thinks I'm this horrible person because of what he hears from them.
And see, that's because you have such a good heart and you're thinking of that. It just reminded me of the conversation I'm having with my son last night. We were just texting and he was like mad. He was like, "Mom, he's been mad at me for a long time." And I had to take the blame of leaving, being the one who left. And there were things that I just could not share with him about his dad. I did not want to hurt him because he sees the reflection of himself and his dad. And I'm like, he's just some things he's just gonna have to learn as he gets older. And I'm gonna have to be the villain in his story for a little while. But I can't wait until he's old enough to see, okay, now I know why mom did that and it's making more sense. And it's like, oh, you gotta wait until they're like 25 or so until their brain can handle this stuff. But right now he's like, you gotta take the side of the person who was hurting him because I know it's a protective measure. And I just got to be careful what I say. It's like just bite your tongue for a little while. One of these days, you're going to see through the mask, just like you did. And that love, you're going to be reconnected with those people. And your brother, he's going to see it too, you know.
I don't know. There's things that he has no idea about that I know the truth of. And like I said, I don't want to say because I don't want to hurt him, even though he thinks that I'm this horrible person because of what he's heard. And it's a one-sided thing. And that's really tough. But the thing is, and I've even said, I went to my bio mom and I handed her proof. I said, "This isn't a he said, she said. Here are and she and she said to me, "Well, there's two sides to every story." Okay, all right. Not to my opinion, as there always. I mean, like, if there's two sides to every story, explain why my ex beat me. What was the reason? What's the second side of that? I don't believe there's two sides to every single story. And the thing is, I said to her, I said, "I'm not telling you this in a malicious way. I'm not telling you this to hurt you. I want you to know you don't know who you're married to. And I can't consciously keep doing this." And so I showed her, and I said, when Faith and I went out of town for a weekend, at the last minute, my bio dad said he wanted to go. Okay. So I drove, and when we got up there, everything was great, blah, blah, blah. And then it started raining on Saturday morning, and he had his own room because I was not sharing a room. It was my daughter and I. We were having the weekend. It was a non-medical fun mom-daughter weekend. And she was thrilled to think he was going, but and it was going to be just the three of us. Well, long story short, that morning we had gone to do the blowing glass thing, and then it was pouring down rain. And I said, "Hey, let's go back to the room, and because in Tennessee you could walk everywhere in Chattanooga." And I was like, "Let's go back and get umbrellas." So we do, and he says, "Hey, I got to make some phone calls. I'll meet you in half an hour." Okay, whatever. So we get back, and then he texts me, "What's your room number again?" And I text him, and a little bit after that, I get a knock on the door. And it is a woman and child with my bio father. And I know her. I know her. She's younger than me. And I know
No.
her. And I am
Oh,
like, are you
oh.
kidding me? Are you serious? And he was like, this is the best cover up ever because your mom thinks I'm here with the two girls. This is perfect.
So he's using you. Oh.
All the time. And he would say, if you tell her, then I'm going to make her believe or make her think that you pushed me because I'm unhappy. And so my daughter was so upset. And so we went to the aquarium, and I was like, I'm not going with you. We're not going with you or that thing or whatever. My daughter is such a mini me to me. It's kind of funny in a way. So he calls and he's like, we can't find her daughter. She's run around and ran off. And I was like, we'll call security. And so I was like, we're gonna go get something to eat. I can't do this. I'm done. So I made the mistake of just saying, we're gonna go to this restaurant. Well, they show up and come join us. And Faith is sitting there with me, and there's the daughter, the appendix, or whatever you want to call this dumb thing, and my biological dad. And I'm looking over at Faith and I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, And I look at her and I was like, can I have my phone? And I look and she is snapping pictures left, right, and center. And there are pictures of them canoodling. There's pictures of them feeding each other. There's pictures of them all like right next to each other. And
Wow.
I was like, what are you doing? And she goes, covering our butts. And I just was like, wow. And she had asked him so many times to go to a movie theater with her. And he always, I don't want to go to the movie theater. I don't like them. I'm not going, yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. So at the end of the night, she was tired and we were getting ready to have a big surgery in a couple of weeks. That's why I wanted to do this like non-medical mom-daughter weekend. And he comes and knocks on the door and leaves the toddler and they go to a movie.
What?
And my daughter is like, are you serious? So at like 11 o'clock, she texts him and says, where are you? We're still in the movie.
Right.
What she wanted, which is what she wanted to do with grandpa. And so she was like, well, how much longer are y'all going to be this kid? And he was like, when it's over, da, 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 I'm having fun, blah, 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 blah. And I took the phone. I'm like, I'm not here to babysit. This is not okay. This kid won't stop crying. He's like, give her milk, give her a cookie, give her whatever, whatever. And I'm like, no. And he was furious. So my daughter screenshot the picture saying, I'm in the movie with her.
Good for
And I showed all these to my mom. I showed all these to my egg donor, if you will. And she decided she wanted nothing to do with me or my daughter anymore. Because,
What?
right, because we tried to tear up their marriage.
So she's just happy to live with this secret,
It's
this
all about.
lie.
Well, she's living in like a almost 9,000 square foot home. She has a maid, she has a yardsman, she has, I mean, she wants for nothing.
So
And
that's her zone.
right. But the thing is, it's like, and I told her, I said, I know I'm walking away from my inheritance. I know I'm walking away from anything I could have ever had that was my grandparents, which is the only thing I wanted was my grandparents' belongings because nobody's going to appreciate those things like I would. And I totally know that's what's going to happen. But I can't consciously know that we're not telling you the truth. And I said, I have all this proof of stuff that was said about your son. I haven't given it to him. I haven't done any of that because I'm not trying to be malicious. I'm not trying to be hurtful. I'm not trying to tear somebody down to make them feel how that person is feeling. But I just want you to know what's being done and being said. And like, that was the last time we ever had words. They found out I was getting amputated. Not a word, not a phone call, not anything. I mean, nothing. So
Wow.
it's right. And we've been no contact. And I pray for them every single night. Like I said, I'm not innocent. I'm not perfect. I get it. I mean, I'm not a perfect person, but I've always been made to be the bad person, and whatever happened has always been my fault. They always put it off on me. And I didn't know until I've been in therapy basically my whole life that I was the black sheep and I was learning about this. And it's horrific because you know what? You want to come at me, come at me. Don't come at my kid. She didn't do anything wrong. She's done nothing wrong. And you want to tear her apart because she can't help fulfill your narcissistic needs.
Right.
I'm not going to let her. I've taught her never lie. I will work through whatever the issue is with you as long as you're truthful about it.
Yeah.
People make mistakes. That's why a pencil has an eraser. That's what life is about. Let's learn from it and move on. But there's no reason why I'm going to authorize my kid to go and lie for your extracurricular whatever. It's not going to happen. And so
Right.
it's just sad to know that some people's mentality is I care more about that outside world and this young how do you call it? More plastic than my wallet,
Right.
who spends like, and ever that's what I don't get. If you have the money to do it, let me just say that right now. If you have the money to do it and that's what makes you feel good about yourself, by all means. But there was nothing on this woman that was real. She had fillers in her cheeks, fillers in her lips, the fake eyelashes, the Botox, the lip thing. She had extensions in her hair. I mean, it was kind of like, is the coyote ugly term here? Because if you took all that off, what do you look like? Do you even look like the same person? I mean,
Another way. It's
and what does a person who's in
like...
their 30s see of someone in their 70s? Is that money?
a gold digger. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And you know what's really cool is your daughter, she stands up and she's being authentic and she knows how to set boundaries. And oh my gosh, I wish more people could do that. Just think how much that's going to help her in relationships down the line. She's calling it out.
She
She's
does.
not going to fall for that stuff. She sees through it and she calls it what it is. And how many people could be saved from awful relationships if they could do that?
Right. I had her watch right after all this happened to try to like cheer her up. The movie Big Daddy, which I love. I think that's the cutest movie. And the little boy is in it. And if you remember, the ex-girlfriend is dating an older guy in it. And all of a sudden, the little boy goes, "Is that the man with the old balls?" And my daughter said, "Stop, stop, stop." And I said, "What?" She goes, "Rewind, rewind, rewind." And so we went back a little bit and she recorded it and she sent it as an audio snippet to grandpa. And she's the old balls. And I thought it was hilarious. It was hysterical, and he got all mad at her. And I was like, "Hey, you know what? You used her as an excuse. So
Right.
I don't feel for you." But I just, life is too short. Life is too short. You have one heart. You got to fill it up with love and happiness and precious memories and moments. Or are you going to fill it with toxicity and negativity and drama and bullshit?
The
What do
lies.
you want to fill it up with?
And what's that going to do to their body? Just think of all the stuff he's got to hide internal, and his body's going to have to find a way to deal with that. The guilt, the shame, all that
He doesn't
stuff.
feel it. He hasn't. He's never felt any of it. I promise you, he's never felt it.
And some people are okay with that. They're okay with just living
I don't know
that
how. I'm telling you, I
lie.
had to be the milkman's child, or I was switched at birth, and like somebody put me in the wrong basket because I feel all of that, and I don't get it. I can't. I have sat there and grasped, and like I don't understand their way of thinking. Like I can't get it, and it doesn't matter. I can't.
Want somebody to love us when we even feel the ugliest about ourselves. We want to be so authentic with somebody that they love us on our good days and our bad days. And it's hard to think that there are people out there that are okay just living with the fake surface stuff.
Right.
It's nothing really deep about that. And it will shatter when bad times come because there's no solid foundation there.
Right.
Got nothing.
Right. And I mean, you can be miserable and unhappy and Life is too short, and I knew things in their marriage, D, that nobody knew. And how would I know these things if they weren't true? And I tried to explain that to her. And I was like, how would I know this and this and this and this? And I'm not even gonna say them, because not that I think they listen, but not, and I was like, how would I know these things? And it was, I don't know, I don't know. And I mean, seriously, I would have been in her position and been like, what? How do you know this? Like, how do you know all that you're saying, and it doesn't matter. And I said, I haven't taken this to anybody else because I don't want to hurt you. Believe it or not, I'm not this evil person. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to wake you up and say, this is who you're married to, and nobody else really understands it. And I don't want to hurt anybody else by letting them see all of this stuff. I mean, it's just, and you know what? You deal with more narcissistic people than good natured people anymore. We're like a dying breed.
I know. They're just happy to have the fake stuff and look past all of it, and good for them. I can't live like that either. I know. I
Mean,
feel the same way.
we have, I told my husband, I would rather have a home than a house five times over. Our whole home could fit in their first story and be plenty of room left over, but I don't care because this is a home, and there's a big difference between a home and a house. And there's, unconditional love and happiness, and that makes a big, big difference. You can't take it with you, so why don't you just enjoy life while you have it? And that's what I just don't get. And then people say words that to me are more hurtful than being. I've had the words and I've had the hits, and the hits heal and they go away. The marks, for the most part, go away, but the words stay with you. No matter what you do to try to get rid of them, they stay there. You just have to learn how to live there.
They're the hardest. And you have to get to a place where you decide, I'm not even going to give them that energy. I'm not going to let their words hurt me. But it's a long way to get there, especially if that's where you come from. And you're one of those kind of people who that's your love language is words. And they figure that out and then they use it. Dang, it cuts deep. It cuts really deep. It's still like all these years. I've been divorced 6 years, and there's still every now and then I'll have a moment of remembering something that was said to me, and I go, dang it, like, do not let it go there. Just, I know better. I know my story. I know that I am loved, and I have to reaffirm myself again, like my power, stand in your power, call back your power to yourself. Don't let anyone else take that from you. And it takes a lot of strength.
It does. It takes a lot of strength. How can someone cleanse themselves? What do you recommend for cleansing just the toxicity and just the ugliness?
I know that my life turned around so much when I started doing the emotion code stuff and dealing with those low vibration emotions, and just muscle testing myself and finding out, okay, what does my body want to let go of today? And then releasing that low vibration emotion. And sometimes it takes a little bit to kind of really let that go, because you kind of got to feel it again. And then, okay, but I'm gonna let this go now. This it's time to heal this part and then move forward and try to transmute it. And energy healing is so powerful. People don't realize it's so beautiful. It changed everything. And I really look back at the person I was 6 years ago, and I do not see the same person at all that I was. I mean, there's no way the person today would allow a narcissist to have that kind of power over me. Yeah.
How did
No,
one
I
begin that? How did you begin?
Just started doing that, like muscle testing myself and finding out if there was something that I needed to release, and working on releasing that trauma and transmuting it. Because energy never dies. It has to go somewhere. We are eternal beings. We are electric beings, and all this stuff, like science, everything, the quantum, it's all starting to come together that they kind of had so much more figured out back then before modern medicine, and people are going back to where we came from. And that's releasing these traumas, these energetic things, paying attention to your chakras, your meridians. Chinese medicine has had this for so long, and now more people are starting paying attention to it, that emotions can cause so much damage in our body if we don't stop and deal with it. We need to stop and take the time to deal with it, or you're going to deal with it later and your body will break down. It will stop, and you're going to be forced to deal with it whether you want to or not.
Right.
So you got to take those steps and start doing it now, because every time you think you're just turning your head to something and you're not dealing with it, it's not going to work. Eventually it's going to catch up with you. Oh.
Well, how do you find one that's real and not one of these bogus things that are out there that aren't really going to help?
Yeah, I think you got to listen to yourself. If we could all just listen to that inner voice, you're going to feel it in your gut. You're going to feel it in your heart. You're going to feel something's just not off with that person, and you better listen to it, or they're going to take a lot of your money and you're going to be out for nothing.
Right.
It's like, yeah, you got to listen to it. And if you get a good feel for someone and you feel like you're vibing with them and you want to work with them, listen to that, because maybe that's just what you need at that time. And you might find a different healing modality down the road that starts working for you in the next stage of your healing process. It's not a one-stop shop. There's all kinds of things out there you can do. Like, I started doing the emotion code, and then I found the frequency app that I downloaded on my phone. And now I just scan myself and check my chakras and meridians. I'll look at it and I'll broadcast frequencies to my body to help balance the states that were low vibration. And I used to look at those reports and go, oh, like my liver or my kidneys are kind of low today, or my heart looks like this little area here. I don't even pay attention to that much anymore. Now I'm just kind of check my chakras, my meridian, sends myself the frequencies that my body needs to rebalance, and I kind of let the rest go, and I don't even dwell on it anymore. I'm just like, it's gonna work out. I'm doing the right things. I'm supporting my body energetically, so I know it'll all balance out, eventually. And I try not to focus on, it's easy to look at the red dots in the report and go, oh, it's showing me this is out. There's a double red here. There's a double red. And there's a virus, that's probably in my DNA line that could come out later if there's severe stress, so it'll show things like that, like what's potentially here to kind of keep your mind around. But now I've learned to don't focus on the red dots. Like, we need to focus on the energy we want to pull into our lives. So we want to draw to us. The more we look at that and focus on it, the more we bring it to us. So it took me a little bit to figure that out too, with using the scanner for 2 years, is start focusing on the good things in my report. Oh, my report said my heart meridian's perfect and my chakras are in alignment. I am good to go, Just go with it.
Do you do
Focus
aroma
on
therapy or anything like that?
not too much. I should, because I know it's good for you. I keep, like, I do have aromas like going in my house and my little, what I call the aromatherapy
User.
device. I have diffusers in every room, but every now and then I'll get them going. But that's a good way. You can introduce that. You can even imprint aromatherapy into your scanner app and broadcast the frequency of the oil to you, which is really cool, because there's some oils you can't take internally, but you could just put the frequency in there and get the whole frequency of it to support you.
What aromatherapies do you like? Which ones do you use?
I know the one I've been using a lot is like eucalyptus. I just cleansing and lavender, like at night, I'll do that to kind of wind down a little bit. Those are good ones. Do you use those a lot too?
I do. I actually have one by my desk here. I have them everywhere. I have them in like a little roller too.
Oh, yeah.
I have some of them like as a lotion or an oil. And like when Faith was in the hospital, bless her heart, she had over 40 wires at one point and tubes in her. And so I literally took it as I took the oil and I rubbed it in her feet, like peppermint and eucalyptus. And
Yes.
I rubbed those into her feet. And the doctors, that's why they call it practicing medicine, were like, you can't touch her, you can't stimulate her. And I'm like, let's look at this here. Her blood pressure and her heart rate go down when she hears me sing, when she hears me read, when she hears me talk to her, when she feels my touch. I was in the bed contorted, holding her. And I'm like, I'm not moving, I'm
Right.
just holding her. And her numbers got so much better. And I was
Yep.
like, that's what happens when they know someone is in their corner fighting for them because they're loved. They're going to fight harder. And I would just take her feet. I mean, they would come in and wipe her off like Like she was dirty shoes. And I was like, no. And I said, after, a good bath, I'm gonna like fix her hair. And I put it in like cute little rings. I said, I can't braid anymore because I'm one-handed, but I'm gonna put her hair in cute little whatever, and I'm gonna rub this oil on her feet. And then every day she had on cute, like different socks. And I had my husband bring up all her own clothes. So she you can't wear, I'm not gonna have her wearing a hospital gown. So she would wear my like long silk shirts. And then I'd have her like little shorts or something underneath. And then she'd have on these like, she likes these knee-high socks that are all different variations. And I would rub the oil in, and they're like, well, and I'm like, her temperature's 90. Do you know where you lose most of your heat? Why do you care that I have this on her feet?
Your hands and your head and your feet. Yep.
Or I would do menthol, like I would take Vicks Vapor Rub and I rubbed it on her feet when she was having breathing issues. And because they were
Yes.
trying to take her vent out and then get her on room air and go through that process. But I would rub just enough where she would get it into her system and she could, just to relax her and use the pressure point. And they're just like, well, why are you doing that? I'm like, why are you speaking? Why are you speaking? Like, I don't want anything.
It's a beautiful woman in the body. What is, they're
Right.
doctors.
And I had my husband bring a lot of her drawings and I had them put all over the wall in front of her. So when she opened her eyes even a little, she got to see all of her drawings. And I had pictures, family pictures on the wall, and just so she could see those things. And we had like books and all these other things everywhere. And we were reading all the time, and I would listen to her music, and we would sing, and we would do all these things. And I would just be like, you can't talk, but you can wink, you can blink, you can, anything. And she responded that way. And it was just, you need to know that you are not alone and you're not fighting this alone. And when I'm sitting here watching her and she's coding, and it's the scariest time of your life because that's my kid in that bed. And when she was a tiny baby in the NICU, she coded daily until we had to put a tracheostomy in. It never gets easier. It gets harder. To me, it gets harder. And to literally sit there and know that your child's had 15 surgeries in less than 2 weeks, that is just stupid crazy. I'm sorry. That is stupid, stupid crazy. And if I'm gonna rub freaking oil on her feet or Vicks Vapor Rub on her feet and you have an issue with it, you know what? Catch me at my best and write me a comment card. That's all I gotta say to you, because I am going to, I'm not giving her anything. I'm just rubbing her feet, letting her know. I mean, you're not even turning her. And technically, you're supposed to turn a bedridden patient every 2 hours, and you're not. So if I want to rub her feet, then I'm gonna rub her feet. Period.
Right. I'm so glad you listened to that. That was your inner knowing. Your higher self knew this. You knew this. I'm so glad you listened to that. Wow. You heard that story about the NIC unit where there was the twin, there was a baby that was dying. It was a twin and it was all turning white and blue. There was pictures of it somewhere. And they thought they were going to lose the baby. Actually, I think the baby did stop breathing or something. And they decided to put the other one in to say goodbye to it, and they put it in the little unit, and then all of a sudden the color started coming back, and they were like, "This baby's breathing." Like, how important? Now we know that they have people go in NIC units to hold babies specifically because human touch is so important. And you
Kangaroo care. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just letting them know. I mean, in the kangaroo cares, letting them like lay right here, their head on you so they can feel your heartbeat or, something of that nature. But it's the simple thing of like, just, you can't stimulate when they're in this sedative state, but you can talk to them. You can, hold their hand ever so gently. And so what I did was, because the doctors are like, you're not supposed to do that. So I had her hand on my nub, my amputated arm. And I'm like, what do you think? I'm stimulating her? Like, I have no fingers to stimulate her. So just sit. I mean, the fact that you get to go home at the end of the day and you're gonna go and live your life. I mean, and they would say, well, this is the case or this is the patient. No. This is my daughter. Her name is Faith.
Has a
Let's
name.
start there. She's not a patient. She's not an ID code. And until you see her that way, this isn't going to go well. Because, if this was you in that bed or your family member in that bed, you would be a whole different ballgame. And so you need to treat them. If you're in this field, you, especially pediatrics, you need to realize how scared these beautiful little children are and just embrace them even verbally. Just let them know that they're okay and they're not alone.
Right.
You
Right.
know, we had two nurses assigned to her privately just for her alone, while we were there, because she was on dialysis and in the ICU. So we were supposed to have two assigned nurses, and they were only on her. And yet 80% of the time we never saw them. They weren't even in the room. They out in the hall on their phones at night. At night.
Wow.
Yeah. Always on their phones. They would only come in like every few hours for vitals, and that would be about it. And they were all, or if the dialysis clotted, they would have to take it down and redo it. But always out there on their phones, always, you know, communicating with each other and just, you know, laughing, cutting up, having fun. They were celebrating Christmas in front of all the kids with the doors open. And it was like, really, guys? I mean, I'm so happy y'all are here and you're healthy and you're able to go home at the end of the day. Can't y'all take that in the break room or something? Because all of us are spending Christmas here in an ICU room. Right? It's just common courtesy, it's common knowledge, which goes back
Right.
to the whole premise of what we were talking about today. It's you know, common sense. Just
Yeah.
realize for 1 minute in your self-indulgent life, put yourself in someone else's position and wonder how you would feel. And if you're like, oh, I'm gonna go to the Knights of Lights today, and I'm gonna do this and that and this, and you look at this beautiful child laying in a bed fighting to live, how do you not feel like crap?
Know. I know. And we're creating more of that with all the social media stuff because people are, they numb out. They don't associate with something because they're not around it enough in real life, really feeling the energies and picking it up. And that's what life is about. You do pick up energies, you do get in the mess and you get in the mire. And that's what you do for a friend. You get in there with them and you hold their hand. And yeah, you're going to pick up some negative emotions from it, but you can help them through it. You can help share it together. And together, you're stronger. And these people that kind of disassociate, they're getting on their cell phones and stuff, they're just getting away from that caring, loving state.
Until they
You
need it themselves, and then
know?
you wait, because everything changes at that point when it's about them. Everything changes.
And there's a lot of people who still need to learn that lesson, unfortunately. They're
Right?
going to have to go through it on their own and have their own story. And then finally, they're going to get it. But usually it's too late,
Do you have any last minute advice?
You know, I think we just need to be. I would love it if people would just get together more, just get off
Person.
social media. Go see your friend. You know, if your friend's asking you for a coffee date, say yes, go see them. You need to be around people. We need to pick up those emotions. Be a part of your own life, dang it. Take the front seat. Stop being in the background. Get in there and take charge and take care of your own stuff. Take responsibility for your own things. Do your healing. We have to be our own advocates these days. We really do, especially with our health. You got to stand for yourself like you did for your daughter. We need to take charge of our own health, our own wellness, and our state of mind. And it helps so much when you get out there and you're really with a friend and you see and you feel the joy and the smile on their face, even good vibrations. You pick them up. They're contagious. When someone next to you is laughing, you start laughing. So, we got to get out there more. We need to bring it back. Going to the park, taking your kids out to socialize. Let's bring
Tell everybody where they can find you, because you're
it
amazing and awesome. And
back. You can go to lighthouseenergyhealing.com and you can see all my stuff on there and on Instagram, TikTok, all those places that. Come find me in the park somewhere. Let's meet up.
not before we do. Are you kidding me? You're not allowed to do that. So we do. We have a coffee date waiting.
Yes,
Absolutely.
you do. I
Yes.
can't wait.
You are a godsend gift to me, and I can't tell you how much your friendship means to me.
You are too. You're such a sweetheart.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I appreciate you. Well, I hope you will come back on with us again soon,
Would love that. I would
because you're
love
awesome. Awesome,
You too.
awesome. And I will make sure everybody knows how to get a hold of you, because I'm going to put it all in the notes.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Give your daughter some love from me, okay?
Absolutely. I was telling her before we recorded that my daughter saw her and goes, "Mom, she's beautiful." And I was like, "You, I'll tell her, but when you see somebody, you tell them that, because that just makes their day. It's something that simple that turns someone's whole day around. Just that simple, you know? I mean, it's really, it's just, it's the words that could ruin your day, it also can make your day.
I'm one of those weirdos that will randomly say that to people too when I run into them at the store or something. I'll be like, "Oh, I love your hair." And they're just always so surprised. Like, I'm like, "I love giving people compliments."
So on behalf of Faith, you're beautiful. And myself, you're beautiful.
You are too. I love you guys.
We love you. Thanks so much.
Okay.